Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend. I'm excited today to talk about something I felt the Lord put on my heart this morning at Mass. Earlier this morning, I was about ready to receive communion, and I saw a crucifix behind the priest, and it was just a bunch of thoughts went through my mind and heart about, you know, Jesus' amazing gift to us, his passion, death, and resurrection, and how the cross of Jesus Christ reveals the mystery of God's plan in so many ways. There's so much depth there, and there's a variety of reasons why Jesus hung on the cross. I mean, the first is love, right? Love of the Father. Jesus obeyed the commands of the Father, and he said in John chapter 14, verse 31, he said that he's telling the apostles that he wasn't going to be with them much longer in the discourse that he had with the apostles in the end of John's gospel, which is called the Last Supper discourse. And he said to them, I won't be with you much longer. And they were probably shocked, you know, and he said, because the devil is coming after me, my enemy, the enemy's coming after me. But he assured them, reassured them. He said, but the devil has no hold on me. So what was about to unfold, which they didn't fully understand in that moment, was all in the hands of the Lord. It wasn't in the hands of the enemy. And Jesus wanted to help them understand and prepare them for what they were about to see within 48 hours, which is the crucifixion of Jesus. And he said to them, the devil has no hold on me. He said, but I do all that the Father commands me. So what he's saying to them is, I'm going to walk this road, and what you're going to see, ultimately they will see him hanging on a cross and dying. He said, I do all that the Father commands me. I do all that the Father commands me. Remember how often Jesus said that the love language of heaven essentially is, he said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Jesus said, follow me. And so we're walking with him, we're following him. The apostles are following him. They like so much of what they see. Now they're following him to Calvary. And it says in the reading in one of the Gospels that on that night, Holy Thursday, after Jesus was arrested, that Peter followed Jesus at a distance. He began to distance himself because the whole way of the Lord, the way of the cross, was not something he could embrace fully. I mean, he was gripped with fear, and it was a moment of revelation for Peter and for the apostles to see how sin was at work within them and their own weakness, because they loved Jesus, but they were also, they loved their lives more, or they were afraid. They were afraid of being harmed in some way. But there Jesus is, and he says to them in John 14, I do all that the Father commands me because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. Why is Jesus hanging on a cross? In my mind, in my heart, the first, when I looked at that crucifix today, it's the first message Jesus wants to get, wants the whole world and all of creation to know for all eternity, that he was on that cross because he loved the Father. And he expressed it through radical obedience with humility. And he showed us, brothers and sisters, the pathway to freedom. That's the sign of contradiction. Jesus is hanging on the cross, human history's most free human being. And it's the Holy Spirit. Remember the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan and he began his ministry, the Spirit of the Lord came on him. And the Spirit led him into the desert to battle with the enemy. The Spirit led him back home to Nazareth, where he stood up and he said, he read the Isaiah scroll in the temple, said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. And Jesus, the most anointed walk in the Holy Spirit ever, was Jesus's walk to Calvary, because that was a free act of the Son of God, motivated by radical love, strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And he said yes to the Father. And as I was reflecting on that after communion this morning, I was just thinking how much Jesus also had in mind, not only the full expression of the love of the Father, but he understood where it was going to lead. That it was going to lead to his being raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit, and his ascension to the right hand of God the Father, where he, in his human flesh that he received from Our Lady, would be clothed in glory, and all the power in heaven and earth would be given to him as he said it would. And from that position of being at the right hand of the Father, having ascended now, and all power and authority belongs to him, here he is, friends, one of us, in his human flesh, is now clothed totally in glory, and the Father's plan is about to reach its culmination in some way. right? And what is that? That from that position at the right hand of the Father, Jesus, now one of us, the firstborn of a new creation, the new creation is in the person of Jesus himself. What is it? The new creation is Jesus is passing from death to life. And the first human person to pass from death to life, and death no longer has hold on him. He destroyed death's power, right? He disarmed the principalities and powers, and in his flesh, in the person of Jesus, the new creation, the new humanity, existence beyond death, existence united fully, totally to God the Father, forever and ever, was born in the person of Jesus through his dying and his rising and his ascension to the right hand of God the Father in heaven. But from that position, Jesus said, as he told the apostles in Luke chapter 24, the Luke's account of Jesus' post-resurrection experience, appearance with the apostles, he told them as he entered the room, and they were all so shocked and overwhelmed to see him, and he says, Luke says, Jesus opened the scriptures for them. He helped them understand how his death was not an accident, was not, you know, plan B or something went wrong, that indeed Jesus was fulfilling the prophetic word of the prophets of Israel that foretold that the Messiah would come and that he would suffer. He wouldn't just come and be automatically be king and take over Jerusalem and Israel and drive out all the enemies, but there was a bigger battle that many of the Jewish people, Jewish leaders didn't understand. His battle was against the principalities and powers of this world, the kingdom of darkness, Satan himself and all his minions. And the Messiah was to come to destroy the power of that kingdom and to establish the Father's kingdom. And so Jesus said to the apostles, he said, now you're witnesses to what I've done. Now I'm going to send you, he said, to bring repentance and forgiveness of sins to the whole world, ultimately. Jesus died on a cross and shed his blood so that humanity's sins, yours and mine, could be forgiven, wiped out, taken away. And ultimately, that we would be purified by his blood, cleansed by his blood, set free from all the captivity of the world of flesh and the devil, sin and death, so that the holy God could come and dwell in us. We would become a new creation. How could that happen? How could the holy God come and dwell in us and make us a temple? Because it happened first in Jesus. God united perfectly to human flesh. That's why he's the second Adam. Jesus is siring a new race of people, Paul tells us, essentially through the power of the Spirit that dwells in him. So the plan of God is not simply to take away the sin, but to make it possible for us to become new creation. And that means for us to share in the life that's in Jesus, united to his humanity. And Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit. He told them, he said, you'll be clothed with power from on high. But he said, wait until the city until the time comes when the Spirit is poured out. And we know when that happened on the day of Pentecost, when, as the apostles were waiting in the upper room in obedience to Jesus, from his position at the right hand of the Father, Peter would proclaim later that on that very day that the Father gave over to Jesus the promised Holy Spirit. And now he, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, he had the authority over all of creation. And he had authority over the human race, the head of this race of people that had fallen from glory. He was about to pour out his Holy Spirit and to begin that work of raising humanity to glory, to the glory of God, by sharing in the very life of God in the power of the Spirit. I've read this before, I think, over the years. Father Joseph Fitzmyer, a Catholic biblical scholar, great biblical scholar, no longer with us, said this. He said, the glory he received, that is Jesus, the glory he had received from the Father became his power. Power to create new life in those who believe in him. The fact that Jesus entered into glory made it possible for Jesus to share that glory with all who are willing and ready to receive it and all who he decides to give it to. Salvation, friends, is humanity entering into God's glory. Yes, it's having our sins taken away, original sin taken away. It's, you know, having our sins forgiven, the sins that we stumble into in this life, that we say yes to the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, that the power of Jesus can continue through the ministry of the church to have our sins forgiven, and to keep us in right relationship with God by his grace, by his mercy, by his power. But all of it is the journey toward a full salvation. We've already received in this life what Scripture calls justification. We are made just. We're made right. We're put in right relationship with God in baptism. Our sins are taken away, and the very life of God is given to us. Not a symbol, a reality. It's a sign, yes, but it points to a reality that's happening in us in baptism. And the waters of baptism, we experience and receive the glory of God in Jesus. God comes to dwell in us as in a temple. And that act of salvation, that saving act of Jesus, and it's an act of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together, a Trinitarian work of salvation, it happens to us, and we are given power to become children of God. But ultimately, salvation will be when we literally enter into his glory and we share in what belongs to Jesus in the kingdom of God. That's just so amazing. Such great passages from the Catechism on this I've read, you know, many times over the years here. Paragraph 668, Christ died and lived again that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Christ's ascension into heaven signifies his participation in his humanity, in God's power and authority. Jesus Christ is Lord. He possesses all power in heaven and on earth. He's far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, for the Father has put all things under his feet. Christ is the Lord of the cosmos and of history. In him, human history and indeed all creation are set forth and transcendently fulfilled. That's a, you know, some 25-cent words there, but essentially, because Jesus took on human flesh and he entered his own story, his own creation, he now in himself took a fallen world in his flesh into glory. And it's all been transcendently fulfilled. The future is secure in Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. You're secure, your future and mine, your destiny and mine. Paragraph 669. As Lord, Christ is also head of the church, which is his body, taken up to heaven and glorified after he had thus fully accomplished his mission. Christ dwells now on earth in his church, in you and in me. The redemption is the source of the authority that Christ, by virtue of the Holy Spirit, exercises over the church. The kingdom of Christ is already present in mystery on earth. The seed and the beginning of the kingdom is in his church because it's a living thing. It's not just a historical organization. It's a living organism. The church is all those who are baptized into him and are living in the Spirit, have been born again by water in the Spirit. So at one point in John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 39, Jesus is talking. He says, he who believes in me, as Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The passage goes on to say, now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him would receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Humanity can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't get poured out except through Jesus and the command of Jesus and the Father. And Jesus doesn't give that command if he doesn't die on the cross and deal with the sin and the death problem. We're going to talk about this passage tomorrow, friends. We'll take it up, the John 7:39 passage. It's just loaded with so much. I want to stay in this week, the work of the Spirit, the mission of the Spirit, and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a great day, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.